Take that singing. Well, God's good to us. Well, we don't deserve to be here this morning. God's mighty good to us today. Amen. I want to just say that what I'm about to do is very unorthodox, and but most of you know me know that's pretty much the way I live. I have three wonderful messages outlined very neatly, and I would just love to preach either one of them at this particular time. But God began dealing with me just before Sunday school this morning, and so I've got to do something off the cuff. Amen. And I'm not making excuses or apologizing. I'm just telling you that's the way it's got to be this morning. Amen. Amen. And so what we'll try to do is just mind the Lord and see what happens. Amen. Amen. Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 1 this morning. And let me just say a few things while you're finding your place in the Word of God. In 1 Kings, that's right before 2 Kings. And if you're having still a little trouble, it's in the Old Testament. Amen. Got it narrowed down. Let me say that in the Word of God, we realize today that the theme for God's Word, the theme for the Bible that you hold in your lap, the theme for your Bible is not salvation. Amen. All right? I'm glad that salvation is a part of it. And I thank God for salvation. And then let me say that the theme for the Word of God today is not only is it not salvation, it's not got anything to do with your salvation, but the theme is not the love of God. I'm glad that God loves me. Amen. I'm glad that I have a Father in heaven above with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. But the theme of this Bible is not the love of God. The theme for the Bible in your lap is who's in charge. The theme for your Bible is who will have the final say. That's what it's about. This Bible is about kings and kingdoms. It's about who's running what. Amen. The one with the most power is the one that's in charge. The man with the gun calls the shots. Amen. That's putting it Alabama simplicity. Amen. And so you can see that as you go all through your Bible. God gives man a kingdom, and man ruins it. Yes, sir. If nothing's changed, the devil had a kingdom. Satan, Lucifer, had a kingdom. He had a crown, but it wasn't good enough. He wanted God's kingdom. And so he tried to lift himself above the throne of God. And God snatched his kingdom away from him, and he gave it to a man named Adam. Satan came along, deceived his wife, and robbed Adam of his kingdom. And you know how the story goes. All through the Bible, he gave Noah the kingdom. Dominant. Noah had domination in the world. He was the king of his world. And just like the devil used the vine, the wine spirits in Genesis to deceive Eve, the fruit of the vine. By that, he deceived them and stole their kingdom. And Noah came along, and Noah you know, made it through the storm and got off the boat, and he planted a vineyard and he took the fruit of the vine, and the devil caused him to get drunk and he stole his kingdom. It's been that way since the beginning of time. The devil, when he took Jesus up on the mountain and he told him to overlook all the kingdoms of the world, he told Jesus, he said, all these kingdoms will I give you if you'll fall down and worship me. And he didn't realize he was talking to the king. And he tried to con the Lord into falling down, and he tried to steal his kingdom. The day that we live in, the devil is the prince and the power of the air. He has kingship in this world. You need to understand that. And that's why there was a dispute, a fight over the body of Moses, because the devil felt like he owned that kingdom and nobody could just come digging it in it. And God showed him different. Amen. The one that makes the rules can change the rules. I'm trying to set the stage here for just a simple message. I want to preach to you just for a little bit, if the Lord is leading this way, and I believe that he is. And all through our life, all through the history of mankind, it's always been who's in charge. Who's going to run the show? Who's number one? If you don't believe it, pick up any newspaper on any Sunday morning in any state in America, and the whole entire newspaper from front to back is going to be on who's number one in the kingdom. Look at the front page. Somebody was killed in their kingdom. Somebody lost their kingdom. Some bank was robbed in the kingdom. Somebody was murdered in the kingdom. Somebody was raped in their kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? You go to the sports section and the Sixers won the kingdom. And the Patriots are winning in the kingdom. And who's number one in the kingdom? Who's going to run the kingdom? You can go to the horoscopes and find out what the future is for the kingdom. You can go to the comics and see who's funny in the kingdom. Who's laughing about the kingdom? I'm telling you, it's all about who's in charge, who's going to run it, who's going to come out victorious in the end. And your life is no different. I remember just a few years ago, my dear grandmother passed away. I remember walking into her house, and I remember just looking at her, laying there, cancer-ridden body, eating her away, just a frail piece of nothing, fixing to leave her kingdom. And while she was there, laying in that bed, helpless and hopeless, nothing to look forward to but death coming in the door, I listened as her children began to fight and squabble while she's still breathing, laying on the bed, fighting over trinkets and gadgets and junk in her kingdom. Before they even put her in the ground, they had robbed her of her kingdom. Children, now today will not speak to one another because one got a ring and the other one got a necklace. One got a comb and a brush. Now they're fighting at each other's throats and hatred and bitterness in their heart, because somebody didn't get their way in the kingdom. It's a story of our life. And I want to say this morning, you were born in a miserable kingdom. You lived your life your way. You were on your throne. You've been in that kingdom doing the best you know how with what you've been given. One day Jesus Christ came by, knocked you off your throne, saved your miserable, wretched soul, set you free out of the kingdom, And he's sitting on that throne today in your heart. If you're born again, if you're saved and blood washed, you're a child of the King, and you got a new kingdom. In 1 Kings, I want to make this clear as I can, but I'm trying to lay a foundation for you. I want you to understand the frame of mind I'm trying to get you in this morning. In 1 Kings, verse number 1, the Bible says, chapter 1, now King David, see, he was a king, and he had a kingdom on earth. The Bible says he was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. You see, no matter how great you are, and no matter how much you have, and no matter how popular you become, and no matter how wonderful a person you might be, and no matter how much you have in your kingdom, you cannot run from death. It's going to come. You have an appointment with it. So David he's come to meet his appointment with death. Wouldn't you know it? He's not even dead. He's laying on his deathbed. They go to find a fair maiden in the land to come and just lay with him and give him some heat. Maybe hoping that the lustful desire in his heart will strike up a heat in his body. And yet he knew her not, the Bible says. He didn't want the last thing in his life to be sinning against God when he left the world. And so while he's laying there, while he's fixing to give up the ghost and go out to meet the one that he longed for in his heart, Adonijah, his son, says, I want my daddy's throne. We'll see that beginning in verse 5. The Bible says, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. Promotion comes from the north. Promotion comes from God. Real promotion is not self-attained. You can go around tooting your horn and bragging on yourself and boasting on your life and all you've accomplished. And the bottom line is, what does God think of you? And so in Adonijah here, the Bible says, the son of Haggith exalted himself, saying, watch what he says, I will be king. I'm going to run the show. I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to have the final say. I'm going to have a dominion over this land and rule these people. And he prepared him chariots, the Bible says, and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. You see, the louder he can shout and the more dramatic he can become and the more visual he can promote himself, the more people will accept it as being truth. So that's what he's doing. And his father, verse 6, had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? He also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. But Zadok, the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan, the prophet, and Shimei and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. In other words, he didn't invite anybody that could mess him up. And watch this, verse 9. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. Watch this. But he didn't invite the preacher. But Nathan, the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon, his brother, he called not. So he plotted to get the kingdom while his father's still alive. And so the preacher has a plot of his own. And Nathan, and I'm going to just, I want to read some more in this passage, but I'll try to just fill in what I can so we can get through this. Nathan went to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And Nathan says to Bathsheba, the wife of David, I thought that David said that Solomon was going to be king. And I went out the door this morning and picked up the paper, and it said Adonijah's reigning. Now, what's going on here? And he said, here's what we're going to do. He said, I want you to go in to David, and you ask him about it, and say, didn't you say Solomon was going to be king? And yet here we are, and we just got the morning paper, and it says Adonijah's king. What is this about? And Nathan said, while you're there talking to him, I'm going to come in with another paper. And I'm going to ask him, did you see the headlines this morning? I thought you said Solomon was going to be king, and behold, Adonijah's reigning. And so they made this plot to go into the king, knowing that in the mouth of two or more witnesses, let a thing be established. You can't trust the newspaper, so both of them had good words with the king. And so they went in, and while they were talking with the king, we'll take it up over here in verse 24. Let's look at verse 24. I want to make a point this morning, folks, and try to help you if you'll just bear with me. In verse 24, the Bible says, I think I'm going to help you. I think this is what God's doing. And Nathan said, my Lord, O king, hast thou said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? Did you say that? Because we ain't heard nothing about that. We thought Solomon was going to be the king. Look at it, verse 25. For he has gone down this day and has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and have called all the king's sons and the captains of the host and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they eat and drink before him and say, God save King Adonijah. Now, what's going on, King David? Verse 26 says, but me, even me thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, hath he not called? We didn't know nothing about it till we seen the paper. Is this thing done by my lord the king? And thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Did you do something and we didn't know about it? Did you make Adonijah king last night when we was asleep? And then told the Inquirer Journal and we just found out? And notice what he says, verse 28. For the first time now, David is speaking. Then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distresses. Even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me. He shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. And of course, Bathsheba blessed him, and so on and so forth. Then, verse 32, and King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the preacher, the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and they came before the king. Now listen, this is where we're going to receive our text just in a moment. And it's not going to be a long message. We've spent a lot of time with this, but I want to just help you this morning. He says, the king, verse 33, also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon, my son, to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow ye the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. Now listen to me, folks. Let me read about two other verses here. Verse 38 says, so Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. Verse 44 says, and the king has sent with him Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And basically, in short, Solomon was made king. Then Adonijah was in trouble. And so it ends with verse number 53, when Solomon sent and they brought him, Adonijah, down from the altar. He's praying now. All of a sudden he's got religion. Amen. And he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said unto him, go home. Find your place. Amen? Now listen to me. Adonijah this morning is sitting here. Adonijah is that one you shave in the mirror in the morning. Adonijah is a type of your flesh. Adonijah is a type of the world, a type of Egypt. It's a type of the Antichrist. But for the sake of preaching, I just want to say this morning, there's not one thing, there's not one distinction between how both of those men became king, except for one thing. They both were anointed with oil. They both had them slain lambs and slain animals and fatted calves, and they had parties, and they had all the wine and the dance and all the things that go on when somebody's crowned and and they all had everything. The trumpets blowed, and the people ran before them and marched and said, God saved King Adonijah. And this crowd said, God saved King Solomon. And Adonijah this morning wants to be king in your life. And Adonijah is after you to be king in your home, to be king in your church life, to be king in the work life, to be king where you go to the grocery store. Adonijah is your flesh that wants to take over your life. And the only difference is this morning, and the only thing that separates that is the fact that one day I got to ride on the king's mule. So I want to just tell you this morning, stay on the mule, amen. Just stay on the mule, because that's what makes the difference. When you're tried and tested, and there's going to be tests in your life, and the devil's going to throw darts, and he's going to come after you, and he's going to try to rob you, and he's going to do, like, for you, what he did to Adam, and what he did to Noah, and what he did to Samson. And all I can tell you is, stay on the mule today. Just stay on the mule, amen. If you stay on the mule, it'll work out. What do you mean, preacher? The mule is Calvary. I've been to Calvary. I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God today. And the only difference is just the mule, amen? The mule makes the difference. You know, one day, years and years ago, back before any of us were around, God went walking across the fields. One day, and he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a seed, an oak tree seed, and he dropped it in the ground, and kicked dirt over it. And it began to grow. A little shoot sprouted out of the ground. And before you know it, it came up and it had branches. And after a while, maybe 100 years, it come on up a little more. 100, another 200 years, it shot up a little more. And you know what it did? It grew these long branches. And it sprouted out big old, heavy, good, hard, solid branches. Because God knew that one day there's going to be a man rise up, and his name's going to be Absalom. And he's going to try to ride the king's mule. Yep. And God said, I'm going to grow this tree right here. Because that old long-haired hippie's going to come by here, and he's going to try to ride the king's mule, and I'm going to drop a branch down just to ride height, and it's going to grab him by the hair and leave him hanging. Because if you ain't supposed to ride the king's mule, you are an Adonijah or an Absalom. You're an Antichrist. You're flesh, and you're trying to be king, and it won't work because you've already rode the mule. Amen. See, the only thing that separates, the only thing that makes a difference is a mule. I wasn't going to say this, but I wasn't going to bring this in because I don't know how long I'll get with this. But let me just shorten and say this. Why do you think it was a coincidence that Jesus said to two of his boys, go down yonder by the way where two ways meet and bring me that mule. Mule, colt, ass of a colt, whatever you want to call it. Amen? And bring him back here. And they throw clothes on him. And he sat upon that mule. Yep. And he rode down the street into that city. On that Sunday before he resurrected from the ground, he rode down through there, and they dropped them palm branches and said, God save the king.
all hail the King. I'm telling you that Jesus spent 33 and a half years walking in flesh and blood just like you and me, and the only glory he ever got in this world was about an hour riding on a mule down to Jerusalem. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the mule settles it. No matter what you think, no matter how you feel, I don't know, preacher. I don't feel much like I'm saved today. But did you ride the mule? I don't know. I just, I'm backslid. I was going to preach on being backslid today. Had that message on my heart. Going to preach about how David's heart smote him every time he messed up with God. We'll do that another time. The Bible says in 1 John 3 that God is greater than our heart. Amen. That'll help you a little bit. Hey, are you hearing me today? You say, preacher, I don't feel very saved. I ain't been acting much like, but have you rode the mule? Have you been on the King's mule? Have you been to Calvary? Have you received the King and put him on his throne? Well, preacher, I don't necessarily believe it just like you, but have you rode the mule? I didn't ask you what your theology was. I mean, you might be a scholar in Mule Skinner Blues. What I'm asking is, did you ever ride the mule? Amen? Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever sat upon a king's mule? I'm telling you, listen to me. Listen to what I'm telling you. That settles it. David didn't say, go get my crown. Anybody can wear a crown. David didn't say, go get the scepter and we'll just toss it up and whoever catches it can be king. Like them women do when they throw the bouquet, David didn't say that. He didn't say, go get a robe and we'll split it and let each one of them have a half. He said, boys, go get my mule. Run out there and get my mule, because the king has a mule. And when they go and crown a king, he rides a mule. Hello? Jesus came the first time in this world, he rode a mule. And they didn't recognize him as a king. They shot down their own theology when he come riding in. They said, no, we'll have no king but Caesar. We're not going to have him reign over us. I know he rode the mule, but that don't matter now. We're going to change that law. We're not going to have Jesus. That's all right. The first time he came, he humbled himself and lowered his shoulders, and he didn't exalt himself, and he rode into town on a mule. But brother, when he comes back, he ain't gonna ride no mule. He's gonna mount up on a stallion of glory and come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And every knee's gonna bow, and every tongue going to confess, and everybody's rode a mule and had rode a mule, and they go all say he's the king, the high and lofty one. All hail Emmanuel. Always works out better when God does it. Amen. I wanted to preach to you this morning on backsliding on God. Amen. I want to preach this morning on being not satisfied. That's what I had on my heart when I went to bed last night. But God wanted to know if you was riding a mule today. Have you ever rode the mule? You ever been on the mule? You say, well, preacher, I got up this morning and I want to go to church and I wanted to read my Bible and I wanted to pray. But I just didn't do it. I don't know why. I'll tell you why. Because you ain't riding the mule. Amen. You're letting Adonijah reign. You know how Adonijah reigns? It's all flash and flare. It's all self-exaltation. It's all hooping and hollering. You watch that crowds always come around church ring-a-linging their own bell and tooting their own horn. And y'all look what we did. Y'all know, you know a good type of that in the New Testament, a real good type, Ananias and Sapphira. Amen. Matter of fact, if you want to do a good study, the first time trouble is in the church was with Adonijah and Sapphira. Amen. That's the first time they had trouble in the New Testament church. That's the first time that they had troublemakers coming to church. And it's the first time they had a tombstone in the church. First time it's recorded. Outside of Judas not being in the church. In Acts 1. Right, listen to me, folks. Can I ask you a question? You say, preacher, I'm having this storm in my life. And I'm telling you, it's unbearable. And it's worse than any storm I've ever faced in my life. But are you on the mule? You ever rode the mule? If you've ridden the king's mule, it'll be okay. It's going to work out. You think Solomon wasn't worried about it? You think Solomon didn't say, well, what am I going to do now? The papers done put it out, and Adonijah's king. What am I going to do? And David said, well, don't worry, son. He ain't rode the king's mule. He's out there in a chariot. He's trying to become king. Some of you trying to become king because you're running around the church in your chariot. And you got your gold rims a-flaring and your wheels in the middle of the wheel spinning around and around. Some of you get that after a while. And you think cause all that flash and all that glimmer and all that gold, you're supposed to be king. But we ain't seen no mule lately. Where's your mule at? Are you hearing me today? Is this too hard? We got, preacher, I don't know. I got this trial in my life. God just wanting to get you on your mule. I got this storm, preacher. I don't know how to face it. Just jump on the mule. Listen. You know what? I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but you listen to me. I want you to listen real close. You're looking at just a sorry flesh and blood good for nothing sinner. And if I had my way, I'd be out drinking, running around, and whoring around Childersburg. But I got a mule. And I'm riding a mule. And I've sat on the king's mule. I got better things in my life, and a greater day's a-coming. Let Adonijah scream, and let Absalom holler, and let the world go to hell. I'm going to ride on the king's mule. Amen. Time's gone. Tragedy comes, ride that mule. Traitors come and try to knock you off. Ride that mule. Just stay on the mule. I want to ask you something. Have you ever rode the king's mule? If you're here today and you're born again, you're blood washed, and you've sat in that saddle. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, You can wear crowns. You can do good works just like Adonijah. And you can kiss everybody's ring finger. And you can flatter all your friends. But if you never rode the mule, you're going to hell. Now, I know that was blunt, but well, what'd you want me to say? You better be careful. Hades is coming. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a man who wouldn't stand flat footed and tell you the truth. What about the king's mule? I'm not worried about this world. I'm not worried about this life because I rode the mule. I'm not worried about the tragedies and the traitors, the trumpets and all the storms and all the troubles of this land. I know we're going to have them, Brother Mark. I know they're going to be here till Jesus comes. But I know this, Brother Tony. You mark my word, as your pastor and overseer of this flock, I have been on the king's mule.
Amen.
I don't care what else happens in this world. I'm going to sit on a throne one day. He said, and he already said, and I read the end, and he said that we were kings and priests.
Amen.
You say, how could that be, preacher? Except you ride the king's mule.
Amen.
Let's stand.
Amen.
Miss Gay, would you come and play something, please? And maybe.